Hello and welcome to episode 32 of the Positive Thinking and the Meaning of Life podcast. My name is intangibly Marcus Freestone. A bit of admin before we start. As you may know, I've been having problems with the RSS feed for the podcast. And for the non-techie ones among you, that is the document, the file that you have on your web host when you do a podcast, and it tells iTunes and Stitcher and everyone what the episodes are and when there's a new episode out and all that techie business. It seemed to me like there was old information mixed up in my feed, and I thought that doesn't make any sense. But I finally the other day found an old account I'd forgotten about from 6 years ago, an old feed, and that was still active and it was interfering with the current feed. So I've deleted that old account. So, touch wood, there are still problems. Player FM and other sites are still having defunct information or no information at all. But if you go to marcusfreestone.com/positive thinking and the meaning of life, which be the website for this podcast that you are now listening to with your ears and face, if you go there, I've redesigned it so that it's much easier to navigate on a little mobile phone, because I know that's how you young people, I'm assuming most of you are younger than me, I don't know, I'm nearly 48, maybe you are older, let me know, or don't. But I know the majority of people access the interwebs on the phone now, so I've optimised that for a small screen. And if you go to that page and look at the top, there are buttons for Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Those are all working perfectly. They've got the new feed, the new logo, all the latest episodes. They've got all the episodes in the right order. If you go on other sites like Player FM, you'll find recent episodes missing and episodes are in a wrong order and there's out-of-date information. I've done all I can. Hopefully in time over the next few weeks it'll sort itself out. But anyway, that's that. So if you want to be guaranteed to get the latest version of the feed and get the latest episodes and all as I want it, then use Stitcher, Google or Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or go directly to my webpage and scroll down and there's all the episodes there. You can download them directly from the web host. So that's that out of the way. So I know I've been promising this episode the last couple of weeks about sleep and dreams, but I feel that I just have to address the elephant in the room today. That room being the whole world and that elephant being the coronavirus. Why are you talking about the coronavirus on Positive Thinking and the Meaning of Life, Marcus? I would hear you say if you stood next to me and said it. Well, boys and girls, I think there's a lot of interesting psychology involved in this. And we talk about life on the show and basically it's on my mind. A lot of it is irritating me. And so I guess I just feel I have to do something about it, even if this turns out to be a little mini episode and then I do the proper episode tomorrow. I don't know what it's like where you are, but here in Britain, things seem to have gone a bit nuts and we're getting a lot of contradictory advice from our dear Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, who is basically like Humpty Dumpty with a bad haircut. Anyway, we're constantly being told not to panic, not to panic buy, but also everybody stay at home all the time. Avoid offices, avoid other people, don't even go out and buy food. Well, that's really not going to work, is it? We're not all Boris Johnson with a team of slaves to do all our shopping for us. Anyway, I wanted to talk a bit about the psychology of this. Because last week I was thinking, oh, this is a lot of fuss over nothing. This is another millennium bug. Younger listeners may not remember the Millennium Bug or even the Millennium. So I'll just briefly recap on that. Basically, in the 90s, there was a few years of panic that basically, when it ticked over to 1 second past midnight on the 1st of January in the year 2000, that this Millennium Bug was going to hit and planes were going to fall out of the sky and electricity would stop working and basically we'd be going into a sort of new dark age. It all turned out to be absolutely unwarranted because nothing at all happened. The basis of it briefly was that when modern digital computers were first designed in the 60s, they couldn't envision a year beyond 1999. And so the original coding meant that computers couldn't conceive of the year 2000, despite, 2001 A Space Odyssey, there's a computer in that, and the Pulp song, clearly there's going to be a 2000, but the computers. So the idea was that when it got to January the 1st, 2000, that all the computers that govern, that govern cash machines and banking and planes and electricity would suddenly think it was 1971 or something and the world would collapse. But it didn't. And until last week, I was thinking this coronavirus, it's just another millennium bug. It's another panic. But it does seem that something is happening and it is something serious. And I've been reading up on this the last couple of days, and yes, a few thousand people around the world have died, so it is serious. But I contend that the psychology of the way that governments are dealing with this and people are dealing with this is all wrong, and I find this interesting and infuriating. I went to my local supermarket today and I saw three people wearing face masks, despite the fact that they are completely pointless, because a face mask does not stop you contracting a virus. That is one of the many health myths that are out there, and that's part of the reason that I wanted to do this episode, is because it's in the realm of psychology. And I talked about that in the last couple of weeks about avoiding the news and all the scaremongering and all the the fake news and that's around. And unfortunately, it's coming into play with this, it turns out, serious matter of coronavirus. So I think this needs addressing in some fashion. So I've been doing some research on this in the past couple of days, and I thought I'd start off by reading you part of an article I found from The Guardian UK newspaper, their website. They're generally a fairly sensible newspaper. They have a very good science section which does a lot of fact checking and debunks a lot of these ridiculous health stories, like if you eat one sausage a week for 3 years you're absolutely going to get cancer and all these other kind of things that have no scientific basis. And unfortunately, there's a lot of things being spread around on Facebook and stuff about the coronavirus that are completely unscientific and scaremongering and could actually, this is serious. Misinformation about this outbreak could kill people. So I think we need to address this and get to the actual veracity of what's going on. So I looked at this article, which actually explains what the coronavirus is, because a lot of articles I've seen, and certainly all the panic on Facebook and that, doesn't actually, I think most people probably don't even know what coronavirus is. I ran into my neighbour earlier on the way back from the supermarket and he said, oh God, it's like the plague's come back. That's, what people are treating it as. So the Guardian website says, the COVID-19 virus is a member of the coronavirus family that made the jump from animals to humans late last year. Many of those initially infected either worked or frequently shopped in the Huanan seafood wholesale market in the centre of the Chinese city of Wuhan. Unusually for a virus that has made the jump from one species to another, it appears to transmit effectively to humans. Current estimates show that without strong containment measures, the average person who catches COVID-19 will pass it on to two others. The virus also appears to have a higher mortality rate than common illnesses such as seasonal flu. The combination of coronavirus's ability to spread and cause serious illness has prompted many countries, including the UK, to introduce or plan extensive public health measures aimed at containing and limiting the impact of the epidemic. And then we have the usual litany about washing your hands. Now, I wash my hands a lot anyway because I have eczema, which is a serious skin condition that can get nastily infected. So I constantly wash my hands with a special antimicrobial bath oil that I get from my GP, and I wash my hands with that instead of soap. And I use a lot of antiseptic cream because my hands get easily infected. So I'm fine, and I have an incredibly robust immune system due to years of drinking and smoking. Oh dear. It goes on to say, a large study in China found that about 80% of confirmed cases had fairly mild symptoms. And the mortality rate of this is being exaggerated because most people who get it probably don't even know they've got it because they have no symptoms at all. So it's probably less than 1% is the mortality rate. But still, if you get millions of people around the world catching it, 1% of millions of people still means tens of hundreds of thousands of people are going to die, which is obviously extremely serious. It says that you're unlikely to get infected on public transport. You're most likely to catch it from somebody that you live with. Just as I'm nosing about on the interwebs on my phone looking for this, it says schools in Scotland and Wales, which is where I live, are to close with England decisions imminent. Canada and US closing border to non-essential transit very quickly, says Trudeau. But I was reading earlier that children are the least likely to catch coronavirus. They're massively unlikely to get it, and if they do get it, it's certainly not going to kill them. So why closing schools is being done, I don't know. Because the problem is that then you've got all the kids at home, and then parents have to stay home with them, and some of those parents are going to be doctors and nurses, and they're not going to be able to go to work. So, I mean, I think this is really being channeled into a kind of genuine doomsday thing. I think this is going to run, and it's just getting very depressing. Okay, here's an article on LiveScience.com. 13 coronavirus myths busted by science. Myth: face masks can protect you from the virus. I've already mentioned this. Standard surgical masks cannot protect you from SARS or coronavirus, as they are not designed to block out viral particles and do not lay flush to the face. That said, surgical masks can prevent infected people from spreading the virus further by blocking any respiratory droplets that could be expelled from their mouths. Myth: you're way less likely to get this than the flu. Not necessarily. To estimate how easily a virus spreads, scientists calculate its basic reproduction number, which predicts the number of people who can catch a given bug from a single infected person. So according to this, you're actually twice as likely to catch coronavirus as regular flu. That's worrying. Myth: the virus is just a mutated form of the common cold. No, it's not. Coronavirus is a large family of viruses that includes many different diseases. It suggests that the virus originated in bats and later hopped to humans. Myth: the virus was probably made in a lab. Oh, God. I said to my girlfriend the other day, I bet you if I go on Google now, there's going to be a load of conspiracy theories that this was manufactured by the Russians or something. And yes, it seems we're already there. No evidence suggests that the virus is man-made. Surprise, surprise. It closely resembles two other coronaviruses that have triggered outbreaks in recent decades, SARS and MERS. And all three viruses seem to have originated in bats. Myth: pets can spread the new coronavirus. Probably not to humans. One dog in China contracted a low-level infection from its owner, who had a confirmed case of COVID-19, meaning dogs may be vulnerable to picking up the virus from people. No evidence suggests animals can infect humans. children can definitely catch COVID-19, though initial reports suggest fewer cases in children compared with adults. A Chinese study in February found that in more than 44,000 cases, only about 2% involved children under 19. So there we are. Kids can get it, but it's much rarer than in adults. When children become infected, they seem less likely to develop severe disease. Another myth, vitamin C supplements will stop you from catching COVID-19. No, they won't. And drinking lots of water won't stop you getting it either. Myth, you can get the coronavirus if you eat in Chinese restaurants in the US. Holy shit, I'm not even going to tackle that one. That kind of reeks of conspiracy theory. Okay, so what about the psychology of all this? I texted a couple of my friends yesterday that it seems to me that Boris Johnson is turning this into the new Blitz and trying to become the new Churchill. In fact, I believe he's even gone on telly and said that we're now on a wartime footing. And as you may well know, politicians and a lot of right-wing people in Britain, they really hanker after the days of World War II. I think a lot of them wish it was still ongoing, or in fact, in some people's minds, it is still ongoing, if you look at the way they talk about Europe and Germany. But I worry about the psychological effect this is going to have on people, regardless of people actually getting the virus itself. For example, my girlfriend works in the public sector. She's a health and fitness instructor, and she's supposed to be in work today, but she isn't, because they were all told to stay home when they've shut the centre where she works. Now, in a way, this is sensible, because she mainly teaches classes to people with chronic health conditions and elderly people. So these are people who are very vulnerable to catching the virus. So that's perfectly sensible. But the idea that all offices and pubs and restaurants should immediately close and that there's basically no public gathering, I think that's scaremongering, and I think that's disproportionate to the threat. Let's put it that way. Not that I'm not taking this seriously. As I said, a few thousand people have died, but it seems to me that there's something insidious in certainly the way the British government is dealing with this. I mean, if I worry about how they're going to actually try and enforce this, because I've read that from this weekend, anyone who has a chronic health condition which weakens their immune system should stay off work for 3 months. And my girlfriend's had a kidney transplant, so she falls into that category. So, you know, how is that going to work? Are they going to pass a law? Are they going to pass legislation that, you know, ill people have to stay away from work? How are they going to enforce it? Is it going to be some sort of curfew? I mean, if they actually try and enforce the measures that Johnson has said in the last few days, then what we're heading for is basically nothing more than a police state. And I don't want to live in a police state. I mean, I really don't understand what the government in Britain, how they think people are going to respond to this. And I mean, all that's happened basically is they've just announced this on television. Well, I don't watch television. I only knew that a couple of days ago that this had all ramped up and gone a bit mad because my girlfriend told me. Otherwise, I wouldn't have known. So I'd have just carried on as normal. One of my friends is already self-isolating, and he's a computer programmer, so he can stay home from work. Apparently they've shut the office and they're all working from home, but that's fine. I mean, you know, if you work on a till in a supermarket, you can't work from home, can you? So yeah, you know, so again, there's an inequality in this, because it's generally well-off people who can work from home, and not have any serious financial consequences. It's poorer people who do regular jobs that the economy and we all depend on, people who work in shops and people who work in food producing factories. They can't work from home. If, you know, if they go home, they're probably not going to get paid. But my friend is self-isolating, but that's perfectly sensible in his case because he has type 1 diabetes, asthma, MS, and some other chronic health things as well. So at first, because I invited him around for a drink this Friday, and he said, sorry, I'm self-isolating. And when I first read that, I thought, oh, really? This was before I'd kind of done any research into it. I thought, really? But then when I read his message, I thought, yeah, no, actually, you are seriously ill. Yes, you probably should stay at home. And he can afford to do that. He's got a good job. He's got plenty of money. And he can have food delivered and stuff. So that's fine for him. Perfectly sensible. I mean, I'm massively unlikely to get this thing. But I personally, I can't afford to, you know, do a massive stockpile of food. And I wouldn't anyway, because my local supermarket is basically the only major shop within about 4 miles of my flat. And I rely entirely on that to get my food. And there has been some panic buying, but thankfully it's not too bad yet. But I, one of the most ridiculous thing I saw was apparently in Australia, people are panic buying toilet roll. Why toilet roll? I mean, I've seen loads of photos on Twitter and that of people, you know, people are buying, 150 rolls of toilet roll in a go. I mean, why do you need 6 months supply of toilet roll? You know, what, are you going to eat it? You know, I mean, what? That's just absolutely bizarre. Like, there's going to be a national toilet roll shortage. I mean, So I guess all I'd say is I hope everyone listening is well and just taking sensible precautions and not getting stressed out about it. I think unless you're elderly or you have a vulnerable chronic health condition, basically you're going to be fine probably. Just don't go around coughing on people, which is generally a polite thing to do. I think for the majority of us, it's probably like not catching flu. But then again, you never know. I mean, you know, next week it could be fucking Armageddon. But I don't know. Anyway, sorry if you found this episode a bit boring. I just felt I had to vent. And I'll do the proper episode tomorrow on sleep and dreams. I guess I just hope that governments don't use this as an excuse to clamp down on freedom of movement. I bet Trump is in his absolute bloody element now. Oh, great, we can close the borders, we can, you know, stop all them nasty, dirty foreigners coming in. I bet he's loving it. I bet he'd love nothing more than to build a wall around the entirety of the states and nobody's ever let in or out ever again. Anyway, thanks for your patience. I promise I'll do a proper episode tomorrow. And sorry, I had to do this. I was just, I'm too distracted by all this to do the regular episode today. I'll get it out tomorrow. And I'm also going to be doing a couple of extra episodes for Patreons over the next few days as well. So stay positive, stay well, and please don't share false information about this on Facebook and Twitter and that. And, you know, stay positive, stay sensible, and I'll see you tomorrow.